Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 3rd to 23rd in communities across Canada. La Fondation canadienne pour le dialogue des cultures, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association through the Community Radio Fund of Canada and this station, present the RBF series January through March of 2016. For more information, check out www.ncra.ca/RBF.
If this music conjures up images of baguettes, striped shirts, berets, and sipping French wine on the patio of a bistro down by the river, well, you're not alone. I myself, John Sailors, the host for this audio documentary celebrating the French language, had many misconceptions before interviewing a few passionate individuals about the French language. We are here today to celebrate Rendezvous de la Francophonie. It is an annual celebration of Canada's membership in the Francophonie and promotes the French language and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs from March 6th to the 22nd in communities across Canada. You can check out the project at www.rvf.ca. So, what Francophonie is an international organization representing countries around the world where a significant portion of the population are Francophones. Canada is just one of 57 countries and state countries like Albania, Belgium, Bulgaria, and many African countries and states. Over the next half hour or so, I will be interviewing a few local people on how the French language is important to them and what it's like coming from a bilingual home. I myself came from a bilingual household. My mother spoke Cree and English, but my grandmother and her sister only spoke Cree. Myself, I am mainly an English-speaking person, but I do know a few Cree words here and there. And my mother actually told me that I knew more Cree as a young little boy. And that enabled me to speak to my grandmother, not directly, but understanding what she was saying and communicating between her, my mother, and me, which is why it is important to keep the language going from generation to generation. We live in a small community of Muskoka where it is mainly English people here, but just up the highway, there was a large population of French-speaking people, and one of those people is Eric Boutillier. He works for a local newspaper called Le Voyageur. It is all in French, and Eric is passionate about his work and the French language. The newspaper he works for is completely in French, which allows him to tell stories that most bigger English-speaking newspapers would completely ignore. Here's Eric now telling us just a little about what he does and how the French language is important to him.
Tell me a little bit about your journalism. How does that... It's all in French?
That's right.
All in French.
Everything we do is that we report on, whether it's on the radio or in the print or online, is done in French. So I brought a few copies. So what I do, I just brought a few samples of the paper. I know not really visual, so it's a little difficult to articulate. But basically, we produce a weekly publication, and I'm responsible for this area in the North Bay Nipissing area. But we produce a publication that covers all of northeastern Ontario, and we talk about news, sports, culture, arts, anything and everything that you see in a regular publication. You see, we talk about in here as well. So, we focus. Our demographic is naturally the Francophone demographic, but we talk about sports. We talk about the battalion, or we talk. About any funding announcements that are going on, any news, current events that are taking place in the community, we make sure we include in the publication.
Great. That's awesome. Do you find any challenges with just being mainly in just a French media?
Yeah. Yeah, there are some unique challenges that you don't necessarily face. You don't necessarily realize when you're working for an English company. For starters, you know, there's some people that, for example, there's some politicians that just haven't mastered French. And if you need a soundbite for the radio, it's a little bit, you really got to put a little bit of thought of, okay, well, how am I going to present this on the air? Yeah. So I do some freelance work as well for a French radio station just on in Ville-Marie, which is the other side of New Liskeard, and it's there's times when you got to do voiceovers for the interview that you're doing, but you find creative ways to tell your story and make sure it's representative of who your audience is.
Right.
You just heard Eric talk about some of the disadvantages of working for a completely French-speaking media company in a mainly English-speaking area. So I asked Eric, what are some of the advantages that the French language brings to his line of work? And here he is now speaking about all of the very unique advantages that the French language brings to the media that he serves out of his newspaper that he works for called Le Voyageur.
Well, one of the really interesting things about what we do, we're an independent, so we're not tied to a large corporation in Montreal or Toronto. We have there's a lot of flexibility to be able to do features or to tell stories that you don't get to see in either the Anglophone providers or even the national providers like Radio-Canada, where you get there's a lot of flexibility where you can tell some of these local unique stories that may not necessarily find the time or the space in much larger companies.
Yeah. That is definitely an advantage. I mean, you'd probably hear stories that other people wouldn't even bother to cover, right?
Well, I think that's where we're getting a lot of success that way. We're talking about, for example, in this week's edition, I went to cover a story about how the community of Astorville, they had a book that they just published about the 130 years of the village, and it was founded by Franco-Ontarian, people from Quebec that came over to Ontario, and you know, the fact that I was able to interview people, third generation Francophones in that community, to, you know, hear how the village has evolved over the last century, and to obviously on the front cover we have a little girl here who wrote a story in the book, and it's this type of story that that doesn't get told very often, but when people see that story being published, there's a real appreciation for that type of story, because there's not really another means to be able to get access to that type of content elsewhere. Mm. A lot of the large providers, I find, they step over themselves when it comes to trying to repeat the same message that comes from another place, and I really feel that's one of the great things about being an independent and being able to talk about things that matter to people in this area.
Wow, yeah.
One of the many things I learned along the way while doing this documentary is that the French language comes in many, many different forms. In school, we were mainly taught the Quebec dialect of French, and I thought that was it. I thought, this is French, and this must be what all the French people speak. But like every language, there are many different ways of saying the same thing. For example, my mother speaks Cree, and our dialect of Cree is vastly different than the Cree of the Plains Cree of Canada. We speak Moose Cree, where we come from, and I would often hear on television the word for grandmother, which is Gukum in our dialect of Cree, but I would hear another word and I would say to myself, wait a second, that's not how you say grandmother in Cree. So as you can see, there's many different ways of saying the same thing in the same language, even our own English language. Here's Eric now speaking about the different ways people speak French in Canada and around the world.
It's a very complicated question. I mean, the parallel I made earlier is just for those that aren't necessarily knowledgeable about the French language in Canada. Imagine someone from Newfoundland and someone from in the States and Texas. You know, they speak the same language, the same syntax, but there's a lot of variance. There's a lot of differences in the expressions they use, and that applies to here in Canada for the Francophones. Someone who's from L'Acadie, which is the Atlantic provinces, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, they have certain expressions, certain terms that they use that we here in Ontario don't, and same in Quebec that they don't. So there's and even if you compare Canadian French to Haitian French or French from Belgium, France, or certain African nations, there's a lot of differences in the words that we use, the expressions. I mean, in Canada, there are some tendencies where we borrow from English as well, or we borrow from other languages. I know, for example, just around Sturgeon Falls, I was covering a festival about a cranberry festival, and they called it Le Festival des Atourcas, and Atourcas is cranberry for I believe it's Ojibwe. It's interesting how we each have different influences, I guess you would say, depending on where we're situated.
Speaking with Eric, you can really hear his passion for the French language and how it helps him tell the stories he gets to write about in the paper he works for. It's really an honor to speak with someone that has such passion for language and keeping that language going. Here he is now speaking about that passion that he has for that language.
One of the neat things about being my background as a journalist, one of the neat things that I find working in the field that I do is, not only do you get to tell the stories about people that are in your community, but a lot of these stories are unique to this country, and we take that for granted. But I mean, I look at a lot of the material that a lot of English stations produce, and it's a lot of there's a lot of American influence in their content, and I think that's one of the neat things about a lot of the French publications, the French television, radio, and even First Nations would apply as well. There's not really anywhere else to provide that, to be able to get that content from. So they're in a way obligated to produce that content themselves. And there's a lot of interesting and unique opportunities that way. You can really tell some incredible stories that you're not gonna get out of Hollywood.
Right. Yeah.
Something that I learned was that there was a law in Ontario that prohibited teaching of French language, which parallels what happened to the First Nations people of Canada during the residential school system. Many First Nations children were not allowed to speak their own language. Now, the French law was actually called Regulation 17. Now, Regulation 17 was a regulation of the Ontario Conservative government designed to shut down French language schools at a time Francophiles from Quebec were moving into Eastern Ontario. It was a regulation written by the Ministry of Education, issued in July 1912 by the Conservative government of Premier Sir James P. Whitney. It restricted the use of French as a language of instruction to the first 2 years of schooling. It was amended in 1913, and it is that version which is applied throughout Ontario. Here's Eric speaking to me about how Regulation 17 affected the culture of French-speaking people in Ontario, as the loss of language for First Nations people affected their culture.
Just fun fact for you, it'd be the government of Ontario, there's actually a politician in Queen's Park right now that's looking to get official apologies done, but about 100 years ago, a little more than 100 years ago, there was a law enacted in Ontario that prohibited the teaching of French in schools. And it's infamously known in French as le règlement de sept. And, there's a politician that's looking to get, official apologies to the community about that. But, like the residential schools with the maybe not to the same extreme, but with the language,
well, it's a cultural thing. It's taking away a piece of your culture.
It's had an effect on generations here as well. So I can appreciate what First Nations have gone through, because I'm on my mom's side, there's a lot of French, but my last name is French, and it's from my dad, and it's been generations since they've spoken. So it's I forget where I was going with that, but just it's I can appreciate the importance of not only preserving it, but making sure that it's passed on so that it can be used in everyday context.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've lost a lot of my language just from living in an English speaking place, right? Like my mom said, when I was really little, most of the stuff that I would say would be in Cree. Yeah, but ever since we moved to Huntsville, it was mostly. I was just surrounded by English, but my mom talking on the phone with people in the north, it's just the whole thing was just in Cree, right? So,
well, and that's, I think that's what's neat about this. Like, these are languages, they're not found anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
There's a real treasure there.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's, yeah.
So, I applaud you and your community to continue.
Yeah,
continue that.
Yeah, we're.
That's. I think that's one of the things, like, with a lot of French communities, particularly outside of Quebec, there's certain areas where you have that infrastructure. You have your schools. You have you can go to the market and pick up something and talk to the clerk at the store. Having that infrastructure in place to be able to use it outside of a classroom.
Yeah,
and. Toronto, unfortunately, is not known for that. I can.
Yeah, if you don't use it, you lose it. Right?
That's so. that's been my big motivation for pursuing the career that I've pursued, but also to when I got involved with to help bring the paper and the radio here, because there was nothing here 3 years ago. There was nothing on a local level. So, anyway, I don't want to get into big rant, but I can appreciate what you go through, and I applaud you to continue, because it's.
Well, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing, because you obviously have a huge passion for telling stories in French and speaking, bringing people French language into like keeping it vibrant. I guess
We each bring something to the table, and I find that's one of the reasons why I took a bit of a jab at Hollywood. You look at a lot of the films that are produced today, or a lot of the songs. You don't hear about well, our station is a bit different because our the market we serve. But you know, generally, you don't hear a song about I'll throw it in just a community, just Hearst. You don't hear a song about Hearst on the radio.
Yeah.
In you know, if you drive anywhere in this country or on the planet, and I feel like it's just it's a bit tragic that there's.
It's watered down.
It is.
Yeah.
There's not.
Mainstream, isn't it?
Like, for example, I look at a lot of other French-speaking nations in the world, and they have, you know, they like to listen to Hollywood and the stuff that's produced out of the States, but they also have a culture that, like a music, a cultural industry that not only they're proud of, but they enjoy it.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, in this country, depending on the community you go in, I find that it's lacking.
Well, thank you, Eric. You have an amazing passion for your language and your work. Now, the great thing about doing this documentary was finding all the Francophones in the community. I hadn't realized that my own mechanic was a Francophone. He is Jack from Jack's Auto. And I did a short interview with him in his garage.
Born and raised... Okay, my name is Jack Charbonneau. Yeah. Born and raised in Chisholm, Ontario, which is just outside of Powassan.
Okay,
and there was a lot of French, but there was a lot of other people too.
Yeah. So did you come from mainly a French-speaking family?
Yes.
Yeah. Your family was fluent in French?
Yeah. My dad came from Montreal area.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he moved into the North Bay area?
When he was young.
Do you think he settled in that area because of the more?
No, he came to Ontario because of his health.
Okay.
It was a drier climate than where he was born. So. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what made you come to Huntsville?
My wife.
Yeah.
she was transferred here.
Does your bilingualism, do you find it gives you any advantages?
Not so much here,
but
we were in Timmins, Ontario for 8-9 years, and was a lot of French up there.
Yeah.
And it was good up there.
Yeah.
But here, there's not much of it.
Now, do you meet any customers that are mainly French speaking?
There's a few, not that many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, does that help you at all?
Sometimes, but most of them is they'd rather talk English anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that you're in a mainly English-speaking community, do you ever find yourself difficult to speaking French at all?
Yes. At times, yes.
Yeah. Do you have family that you speak to mainly in French?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
No, it's always English.
Jack expressed his frustration with having a difficult time speaking French in the community. At the time, Jack was looking for a new vehicle, and one way his language helped him was that I gave him a copy of Eric's newspaper, Le Voyageur, and he was able to find a new vehicle in the advertising section of the paper.
Here's the newspaper I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this before somewhere. Where does it come out of?
He works in North Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I've seen this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all French speaking.
Yeah.
So, and he was saying that he gets, the advantages that he gets in his work is that he is able to tell stories that no other media would want to cover, really.
Yeah.
So that's the pretty cool thing about being bilingual, is you can hear, you have a sort of an instant connection with some people.
Yeah. The only thing, though, is ever since we moved to Huntsville, we've noticed that people that are French don't even want to speak French.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well. Tell them about this celebration thing going on.
Yeah.
Can we get them a little bit more into it?
Thank you, Jack, for speaking with me today. Now, another member of our community who is very fluent in the French language, but more towards the French France language, is Nisha Coleman. And I got to interview her very briefly when she was in town for a book signing, which was very cool. So here is Anisha Coleman and her passion for the French language.
Excellent question, John. I was an early Francophile. I remember in kindergarten, starting school, and they had this teacher called Monsieur. And then he started teaching us that for every word in English, there was another word in French. And it was like this kind of like a secret language because not everybody knew these new words. So sky is ciel and clouds is nuage. And I just remember like the words were just locking in. As soon as he'd say them, I was just kind of absorbing it naturally because I was so into this new language. I loved the sound of it. And I loved kind of the idea of the mysteriousness of it because not everybody knew these words. It was like kind of like a secret language that we were learning.
And now here's Nisha explaining to us the differences in dialect from the Quebec French and her prominently more French French.
There are a few differences. I mean, there are a lot of differences. But number one is the accent, obviously. Growing up with learning French in school, we had some teachers that were Québécois. We had some teachers that were from France and some teachers who were so poor in French that they couldn't actually speak French. So it's kind of a range. And I remember like going to grade 7, went to Quebec City, and I remember our French teacher, hopefully she'll never listen to this, I won't say her name, but her trying to speak French on the street and I was realizing that nobody was understanding what she was saying, and she had to switch to English, and I realized, oh, she's not really French speaking at all. And then we had, French teachers that were from France, and so we had kind of a whole range of kind of a mix of French taught in schools. But really, I started learning French in a deep way when I moved to France. So it was Parisian French, which has a smooth kind of a smooth melody. Like it's kind of like music. It's like learning an instrument. And so my accent is more France French than Québécois French. So now when I'm in Quebec, people hear that I'm not Québécois. I can convince them that I'm Francophone, but sometimes, but they're not quite sure where I'm from. It's not exactly France. There's a bit of an accent, so it's confusing. Differences. Oh, one interesting difference between France French and Quebec French are the anglicisms. There are anglicisms, lots of them in both versions of French, but they're not the same. And each Francophone from either camps find the other anglicisms absurd and ridiculous and funny and weird. For example, like in France, they say un parking for a parking lot, but in Quebec, it's stationnement. And there's a lot of like small things that come up all the time. So it's like learning two versions of the same language now that I live in Quebec.
Thank you for joining us today in celebrating the French language. I hope you were as pleased to hear from these passionate people as I was.
For more information on the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, which is an annual celebration in partnership with La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Community Radio Fund of Canada, and this station, visit www.ncra.ca/RVF.